Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Best friends from childhood encounter the best as in toughest tests of their lives on Clique, Pop TV's new drama launching Wednesday night. Creator and writer Jess Pertain joins me next. And where is this universe of smart television sets and devices taking this medium? CNetNews.com senior digital news writer Joan Salzman drops in with some directions next half hour. Also ahead, Mr. Lincoln moves to a new Walking Dead stage, our new classic trivia question of the week, and the outcome of our first unscientific survey. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Hope your weekend was wonderful. I know it was great for some 50,000 runners of the New York City Marathon all over the Big Apple. And speaking of the Big Apple, right now at the top of the hour, it's 52 degrees. Happy to have you with us for the program All About Television. Got some good guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and it gets better when you are involved. So pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We also have our chat room in business. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, just waiting for you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Jess Pertain from Clique on Pop TV will join us from over the Atlantic after these news notes. Onward and upward to more and different encounters with The Walking Dead. That's what is in store for Andrew Lincoln, the lead actor on the AMC drama, whose character, Rick Grimes, was last seen last night taking a helicopter ride to Point Unknown near death. AMC will keep Lincoln and his role going with a trio of two-hour movies, which will start production early 2019. What's more, the Walking Dead franchise will expand further over the next few years via more movie specials, at least one new series, maybe more, and content exclusively distributed through smart TV sets and TV-connected devices. Deadwood fans rejoice. That TV movie sequel HBO has promised you for so long started production this morning in Los Angeles. Original cast members Ian McShane, Timothy Oliphant, and Molly Parker are involved. So is creator David Milch, who wrote this movie-length version of the program. And now some quickies. TBS will most unqualified. It's an odd job unscripted program, which will be piloted with featuring Shaquille O'Neal and comedian Ken Jeong. Remember him from the Dr. Ken series on ABC a couple years ago? That's what we're talking about. ABC's new Tuesday Night Police saga, The Rookie, has gotten a full first season look, so we'll get a full rookie season. And FXX will give You're the Worst a fifth and final season starting in January of next year. That's January 9th to be specific. And that is news notes for today. When we come back, we hope to have live from England, Jess Pertain, the creator and writer of the new pop series, Clique, that premieres this Wednesday night. So stay with us. We will be right back.
Hello? Hello?
And now, live, we believe, from England, is the creator and writer of the new pop TV series, Clique, that premieres Wednesday night, Jess Pertain. Jess, thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. And where are you calling us from England specifically? Is it London or somewhere else?
I'm in London at the moment. Yeah, I don't live here, but we're currently cutting the second series at the moment, so I'm working from London.
And we will talk about the fact that you've got two seasons of the show under the belt for Pop TV fans here in the United States. Tell us, first of all, how this show happened. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, the show kind of came out of personal experience, really. I'd had a sort of slightly strange time, I would say, maybe at university or college, as you guys call it. I'd slightly struggled and found it quite a difficult time and felt a sort of sense of shame about that. And then I started talking to people and realized that it wasn't that unusual an experience. So that's where the story was born. And then it got taken to the BBC in Scotland, and the rest is history, really.
And how did it make its way to Pop TV here in the U.S.?
Well, our international distributor, All3Media, sort of put the show around, and we were massively thrilled that Pop were interested. They're a sort of great platform and growing at the moment, which meant they were sort of on hand to be very, very involved and to offer some great advice and to really sort of put us centrally on their platform, which has been wonderful.
Incidentally, to all of our listeners, if you're hearing some buzzing in the background, no, you are not making things up. Where I live, where we're doing our show from today, something is happening elsewhere in our building, and we're getting that buzz that you might be hearing, but we will try to, we will pursue it, we'll pursue our conversation no matter what. And by the way, it's not on our guests' side of things, it's on my side of things, and so I definitely take accountability on that. We did not know we were going to have this event until a few hours ago, when it started. So I just want to let you know, and your ears are not deceiving you. Jess, talk about the two characters that you've created for this series. They're best friends. They've been best friends from childhood. And then they get into this university situation, and what happens?
Yeah, so Clicks really centers around the best friendship of Holly and Georgia. As you say, they've been friends since childhood. They're a sort of unbreakable best friendship, or so they think. And then they arrive at college and find themselves in a whole new world. They encounter a group of very erudite, very alpha elite young women who seem to have everything sorted in terms of their life and ambitions. And it causes a bit of a rift amongst these two best friends. It sort of puts the cat amongst the pigeons in terms of where their loyalties lie, how ambition might challenge that friendship, who's going to get in and who isn't. And so they definitely come up against a very difficult situation which they didn't really see coming.
And there's also a little bit of a corporate chicanery too.
I'm sorry?
I was saying that there's also, in the course of this series, there's some corporate chicanery or corporate transgression.
Yes, the series focuses as well on the finance industry. It's a relatively loose arena. Obviously, the subject matter is very focused on young women and ambitious young women. There is the show set in Edinburgh in Scotland in the UK, where there is a sort of thriving finance industry, and so it sort of proved the perfect playground to sort of enact these stories of friendship and ambition and what you might do to get ahead or what you might be expected to do to get ahead as a young woman today.
Besides your own personal experiences to draw from, what research did you do? Whether it was with the financial situation in Scotland or in the stock markets generally around the world or other sorts of research to prepare to write this series? Because you've written it all on your own. All six episodes of the series are your work.
Yes, they are, yeah. We did quite a lot of research into finance and the way that internships work. Obviously, Clique is not specifically based on anything or any company. It's certainly sort of a very heightened version of the finance industry or kind of starting out in an industry. It's taken to sort of very thriller-esque heights. And so it's not specifically about anyone. But I do think that internships generally in the UK, they do sort of expect their interns to be operating at a very adult level. I'm told that's similar in the US. And so I was very interested in the finance industry. It could have been any high-flying industry, really, in terms of what that means for young people going in when you're essentially sort of still a child and operating in a very sort of sometimes dangerous, sometimes high-stakes world.
You're hearing Jess Pertain. She is the creator and writer of the brand-new Pop TV series Clique, which, incidentally, is not only on starting Wednesday night for its first season, it's already been renewed for a second season before the first has gone on the air. The show begins this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time here in the U.S. on Pop TV, which, by the way, is a joint venture of Lionsgate and CBS. And just joins us live from London across the Atlantic, where, let's see, it's right now after 3 o'clock Eastern, sort of a prime time their time. And we're happy she has joined us this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appbaum will be live from New York. Thanks for joining us on this Monday before Election Day in the U.S. of A. If you have a question or comment for Jess, make the call happen, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later this hour, brand new classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have two prizes for you. One supplied by one of our guests from last Monday's episode, and the other is DVDs of a National Geographic special miniseries that's premiering next weekend. Jess, talk about the two lead characters, the two lead actresses that you have play your characters.
Yes, so we were fantastically lucky, really, to sort of discover Synnerva Carlson, it's who plays the lead character, Holly. It's her first ever TV role. She was midway through her first year of drama school when a random encounter with the director's brother at a wedding sort of brought her to our attention. She's very special. She's sort of a very instinctual young actor, very exciting. And then Ashlyn Franciosi, who has many kind of good projects under her belt already. She starred in The Fall, which was a BBC UK series, and we were very lucky to get her too. They had a very great chemistry from the off, which was sort of magic to watch, and they really committed to what are quite difficult roles. So it was a pleasure to work with them, really.
What kind of background or what kind of ground rules did you give both of these actresses in playing these roles?
None, to be honest. I come from a show called Skins, which that's where I sort of started writing, and was very much taught to allow actors to very much go with their instincts. They were across the material they understood from before they were even cast, the sort of difficult areas and topics that the show might encounter. So they were informed and supported, but we very much allowed them to create their own sort of atmosphere and on set with the directors, and to sort of feel very free to take the characters in a way that they were feeling. I sort of always feel like the character takes on another life after I've written them, you know, when the actor sort of fully gets their teeth stuck into them, and they both kind of took the roles in sort of ways that I hadn't really foreseen but turned out to be really great.
I want to go back to Skins in a moment because it was quite a sensation in your country, and that was adapted for the United States through MTV, which got a year of that program. But before we get to Skins, talk about this idea of not giving your actors a lot of, you know, a direction beforehand. What does that do to you as a writer in terms of, as you write your scripts, how much do you keep that in mind, that the opportunity, let's say, for the actors to improvise a bit or to sort of inflect the character in different ways that you didn't think of?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think all writers have an element of control freakery about them. It's certainly something which, you know, can be a little bit terrifying and a little bit daunting to hand over the characters that, you know, you occupied your brain for a long period of time, and you sort of feel a sense of ownership over them whilst you're writing and conceiving the series. But I've always been very prepared for the fact that there comes a point where you sort of hand that character over. And we did a lot of talking. I was available on set at all times to talk to my actors about their characters, about maybe their feelings about their characters. But I did have to be, I do think that being quite strict with yourself about handing that over is usually quite good for the project. It usually turns up something that you haven't thought of yourself. And the actor having ownership of that character and taking it in their own direction, I think, can only really be a good thing.
When Skins happened way back when, it caused quite a furor in your country because nobody had ever seen teenagers and 20-somethings portrayed in the way that this show did. What sort of came up was frank, authentic, heartbreaking, controversial, quite a few words along that line as descriptions. Looking back on that experience, what did you get out of doing Skins, and what do you think the impact Skins, what was the impact you think Skins ultimately had on dramas in your country?
Yeah, I mean, I was so lucky to work on that show and to start out there. It was one of the only kind of writers' rooms employing young, green writers who essentially didn't really know what they were doing yet. We were asked there to sort of be bold and to be ourselves and to draw on our personal experiences. And we were very much guided through what was pretty much our very first scripts across the board and on the writing team. And I didn't really know of anyone else doing that. And as you say, it turned up very kind of occasionally controversial, difficult, raw, bold material, which no one was kind of foreseeing the reaction to at the time. We were just having a really fantastic time creating it and writing it. But I do think that it was something that UK TV hadn't really seen before, as you say, and it did seem to sort of start a wave of drama about young people, which didn't sort of look down on young people as an audience that needed, you know, sort of safe material. I do think young people are an incredibly discerning audience, and they will come with you if you try something slightly different, as long as they think it's good. And so we did see more of those types of shows sort of coming to the forefront in the UK, which I think is a great thing. And I'd love to think that Skins, you know, sort of has a legacy in that way. It certainly was a sort of defining sort of part of my career so far. And I think that goes for quite a lot of the Skins writers.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a chance to see the MTV version?
I did, yes. It was very different to, I think it was very difficult to sort of emulate what had happened in the UK. And obviously the UK version, it had almost slipped by the people in charge, if you know what I mean. And so it was quite difficult to recreate. I think there was a fantastic cast, though, on the US version. I think they were doing an absolutely amazing job. I know lots of them have gone on to do very well, so...
Throughout the years, back decades, British television has been known for having most of their scripted shows be single writer shows, where because you don't have as big a season as U.S. television does, even now, where you have rather than 39 episode seasons as it was in the 50s, in most of the 70s and 60s, you have 22, 24 episodes a year on a U.S. produced series, and in some cases, 10, 13 episodes. A lot of British shows are 6-episode, 8-episode, 10-episode, and many of them, as I said, are single writer. You don't have a writing team. I'm curious how you like the approach of doing all the episodes yourself, really owning the series or owning the season from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definite pros and cons to both. I mean, I look at US series and I'm just in massive... I'm in complete awe. Do you know what I mean? So the concept of 22 episodes in a series, which runs for many, many series, it's not done very often in the UK, as you say, and it's sort of unfathomable to us, I think. And I guess the pros to a sole-authored show is that it really does become quite singular. I think especially with shows which start from a personal place, it does mean that you can really sort of set out exactly what you want to set out. And luckily in the UK, the broadcasters will still consider sort of smaller series, as you say, sort of 6 episodes. Having said that, you know, pros and cons to both, I do think writers' rooms are absolutely fantastic for writers. They turn out the best work, I think. I've loved sole authoring Clique. I'm not sure I could have done it any other way, but I'm certainly not opposed to working alongside other people in the future.
Clique is the new series premiering this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Pop TV. That's the channel owned by Lionsgate and CBS. And we're speaking with the creator and writer of the series, Jess Britton, who incidentally will have a second season of Clique coming up next year. And we'll talk more about how the second season will go shortly. Jess joins us live from London this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Internet radio exclusive. Simon Appleman with you live from New York Delight. You are aboard on this Monday. Thank you for making us part of your opening of the week. You have a question or a comment for Jess? Don't be shy. Make the move. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, if you can't catch us live, catch us on replay. Very simple. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You also check us out in our podcast version. It comes immediately after we go off the air on iTunes, Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast app, and also on the iHeartRadio podcast network. All you have to do on the latter is go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click that bar, and you get our episodes right on the spot. Jess, what is it looking like for the second season of Cleek? Have you started doing the episodes already? Are they all done? Or when do you start, if not, when do you start producing them?
So we're all done, really. We're just about to lock the final episodes in post-production. And so it's coming out in the UK next week and will be coming to pop in very early in the new year. So we're almost wrapped up.
And give us a sense of where you want to take your characters and where you want to take the whole idea of Cleek, let's say from season one to season two.
Yeah, so there's a relatively large reset for the second series. We take forward some of the central characters. And then obviously the format of Cleek is basically that there is a Cleek and that it's a university college-based drama. And so we see a sort of the introduction of an all-new Cleek in the second series, which is a Cleek of men this time. So we get to see Holly, our protagonist, kind of come up against a different kind of tension, a different kind of crowd that she has to decide whether she wants to be in or out of that clique as well.
Mm. What do you hope people from the United States see in this series? What's the key takeaway you would like them to have from watching your program?
I think more than anything else, I hope that it's just an enjoyable watch. It is meant to be something that gives pleasure and entertainment, but equally to that, it does delve into some very kind of somewhat dark and contentious material. And I never set out to be that way. I never set out to be topical or political in any way. But I think if you write about young people, that sort of happens inevitably anyway. I do think it's a very sort of simultaneously exciting and terrifying time to be a young person, I think both in the UK and the US. So if the US audience sort of, if the show provokes some kind of thought and conversation and some contentious things to be thrown about and debated amongst the audience, then I'll be very happy.
How long do you see Cleek running? Have you set a roadmap for yourself and your production team about how long do you want Cleek to run? And if you want it to be, let's say, only two seasons or maybe three at the most, have you thought about what's next for yourself in terms of series creation?
Well, I mean, there's no master plan. I'll be completely honest. I never set out to make a specific number of episodes or series of Cleek. I do think that it's a great platform to tell young people's stories, you know, and as I say, as the format is relatively movable in terms of being about a clique and about young people and about university. Those are kind of the only real sort of central things to it, which allows for many, many stories to be told. So I do not know is the honest answer to that. I certainly would be very up for continuing further with it. And otherwise, I sort of throw myself to the wolves at this point. I'm very up for, you know, there's a few things in the pipeline basically in development. And once I'm sort of, once the second series is starting to come out, then the brain frees up somewhat.
It sounds, though, that no matter where you want to take your career or what series you want to come up with, whether it's more seasons of Cleek or something else, that you want to stay with the idea of chronicling young people in dramatic fashion. Is that fair?
Yeah, I it's not by design. I'm not sure how that works out, but I do think, I turned 30 this year. I'm not particularly young anymore, but I do think because it's such a significant time, because it's sort of, it's so heightened and intense, it does tend to stay with you. And I do think you only start to work out some of the more intense things that happen to you as a young person as you get a bit older. So I certainly have a preoccupation with it. I do think it turns up some pretty interesting material. So it's not by design, but I do appear to write mostly about young people, which obviously also allows me to write for a young audience. And as I say, they're a terrifying but discerning audience to have, which keeps you on your toes.
The name of the program is Cleek, and it debuts on Pop TV here in the United States this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. I believe the first episode is a two-hour one, and then other episodes will follow probably in that same time period as well. Check your local listings where Pop TV, owned by CBS and Lionsgate, appears in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, you go to www.poptv.com. That's www.poptv.com. Jess Brin or Batane, thank you again for joining us from London. All the very best to you and your crew on a great first season and a second one as well. Congratulations on the renewal from Pop, and I look forward to catching the show, and hopefully it has a great run, and no matter what, that your career has a terrific run, Chronically Young People and other aspects of society as well. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard.
Thanks so much for having me. Cheers.
You're very welcome, Jess. Take care. Have a super week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Jess Brittain, or Brittain, from Clique, joining us live from London. More tomorrow, we televised coming your way, but first some words from our fine friends at Audible.com, that Amazon company. And if you haven't tried Audible.com yet, try this out. For the next little while, you have an opportunity not just to get one free audiobook on a one-month trial, but three, an audiobook plus two of the brand new spanking audio productions under the Audible Theater banner. It's just that simple. Just go to audibletrial.com/televised and get your order in. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from. And like I said, not just adaptations of books, but also original audio productions. One woman, one man shows, off-Broadway and Broadway fare, and even original dramas written especially, and comedies too, written especially for the medium. And it's all under the Audible Theater banner. So for a limited time, not only can you get one free audiobook, but also with your one-month trial, two Audible Theater productions of your choice. Remember, you can listen to any Audible.com title on any device that you're listening on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or iHeartRadio. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. Get that free audiobook set, one audiobook, to Audible Theater Productions, and a one-month trial, and great customer service, of course, from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So don't forget, in order to be in the game and hear how Audible can transform the way you hear the world, you got to order. So do so at audibletrial.com/televised. And now it's time for the answer to our last current classic trivia question we've been offering for the last 2 weeks. Nobody picked it up, so unfortunately nobody gets our DVDs of Loudermilk, Cesar Millan's Nat Geo Wild special, and the 6-CD John Edwards set on developing your own psychic powers. The question over the last 2 weeks, how many different pricing games have been played on The Price is Right? The answer, 110. That's right, 110 different pricing games. 70 to 75 of them are now in current rotation, and other games have been dropped because either they didn't work the first or second time out, or they had run their course according to the producers. So once again, the answer to this week's classic trivia question, there were 110 different pricing games played on The Price is Right. And now it's time for our new classic trivia question. And this time around, we have some brand new prizes. One is the DVD set of a special called Inside North Korea's Hierarchy. It's premiering this weekend on National Geographic Channel. Sorry, North Korea's Dynasty. And it's premiering this coming weekend on National Geographic. And you can get the entire miniseries if you know the answer to this question. Remember the Green Hornet? 1966, ABC, the spinoff of Batman, in a way, starring Van Williams as the Black Crusader patrolling the streets at night for criminal activity, accompanied by his wonderful servant, Kato. That's the role, of course, that Bruce Lee shot into super mega stardom with. Here's the question. What was the Green Hornet's day job on television? What was the Green Hornet's day job on television? He had one. We want to know what it is. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll not only win that Inside North Korea miniseries from National Geographic on DVD, but you'll also get the book that we've featured on last Monday's episode from author David Tice. It is The Golden Box. The Golden Box, all about television, by our special guest observer last Monday, David Tice. We'll have a copy for you if you get the answer and you're first with it. Once again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, make sure you enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you missed the question a moment ago, don't worry. I'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and at Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So play and all the very best. And coming up our next half hour, speaking of The Price is Right, we will have our survey response to our question, what's your favorite Price is Right pricing game apart from Plinko? We have heard from our audience. They've spoken. We'll give you that answer in our next half hour. And in our next half hour, CNetNews.com digital media senior writer Joan Saltzman joins me. We'll talk smart TV sets, smart devices, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and all things like that under the sun. We'll get to that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month. We're also being presented simulcast-wise on Spreaker.com, which reaches more than 5 million households around the world every month. 5 million listeners, that is. And Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker are your home for Kings in the Morning. Check out Jay King and crew every weekday, including tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Spreaker and blogtalkradio.com. And remember, Best Theater Art comes your way 24/7 at youtube.com. When we come back, Joan Saltzman from CNetNews.com. We're talking smart TV sets and devices and how they're impacting the medium. Stay with us. Coming back shortly. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York on this Monday afternoon, the day before Election Day 2018. Happy to have you with us. And if you are with us, we'd love to have your thoughts on where TV's at and where it's going. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We expect to hear momentarily from Joan Saltzman, the popular senior digital media writer from CNetNews.com, joining me here in the Big Apple. But first, we have the results of our first ever Tomorrow Be Televised survey. We invite you to give us a call, email, use our chat room, use a lot of different ways over the last 2 weeks to answer this question. What's your favorite pricing game on The Price is Right apart from Plinko? We know Plinko is number one by a wide mile, but we want to know what's your favorite pricing game apart from Plinko. And we heard from some of you, whether it was by email or by Facebook or Twitter. And the answer to our first ever survey, it's amazing, it's our first one we've ever done in the over 11 years we've been doing this program, is Cliffhangers, the Yodely Guy. Yes, the Yodely Guy game, where you got to go up 25 steps or try not to go up 25 steps. And if you make sure that you go up the steps and stop before Yodely Guy goes over that cliff, you win some nice prizes on The Price is Right. So Cliffhangers was the top choice. We thank those of you that participated in our special survey. And I'll tell you what, we're going to try to do another one for you next month and maybe make it a regular feature on sort of a, maybe every month, every other month basis in 2019. So one more time, Cliffhangers was your choice for your favorite Price is Right pricing game apart from Plinko. Let's see if Joan Saltzman from CNetNews.com is on the line. So pardon me for a moment, and hopefully when I come back, Ms. Saltzman will be on the line with us. Stay tuned. All right, we are still awaiting Joan Saltzman, the senior digital media writer from CNetNews.com, to join us so we can talk smart TV sets and smart TV connected devices and what they are provoking in this TV world. Everything from where Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS All Access is at to the arrival next year of services and programming from Apple, from Walmart, Warner Media, and Disney, among other players, and where we might be going with artificial intelligence and the opportunities to talk to your television set and order all sorts of products and services and programming to even maybe interact with your favorite shows or new shows, as the case may be. And for those of you who missed, again, our first half hour, we want to thank again Jess Britton or Britain from Cleek for joining us. Cleek is coming your way Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on Pop TV. Pop TV available on cable and satellite in millions of households across the country. For more details about the program and the network, www.poptv.com. And we want to let you know that over this week, before the weekend, I had the wonderful opportunity to deal with the New York City Television Festival, first ever. It was over at the Dolby Screening Room on 55th Street and 6th Avenue. Had the chance to meet Roberto Rizzo, who is the originator of the festival, was on our program last Friday. We are trying to get the winner of the Best TV Series Award of the festival, which wrapped up Saturday night, on our program this Friday. We're working with the publicists from the festival to make that happen. We have a couple of other things in mind. So right now we don't have a confirmed guest for our Friday episode, but we expect to have one in the next 48 hours. And we'll keep you posted on Facebook or Twitter as to who those folks will be. Remember, we come your way Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We're simulcast that way. And we're also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, joining a lot of wonderful shows from all over the place through the facilities of iHeartRadio based here in New York. So we hope you check us out either live or on replay. And we'd love to have you catch us live. Why? Because it gives you the opportunity to interact with yours truly and our guests. Remember, in order to do that, you give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. You'll catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We're also available, as you know, with our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So if you're shy about using the phone, use the room and we'll get your question or comment on the air. You'll find that room in our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/tell us. Remember, we now make it possible for you to hear our show on replay just a few moments after we go off the air, usually at 4 or 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 1 o'clock or 1:30 p.m. on the West Coast. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/televise, our homepage, click, and you get our show in its entirety. You can also check up on previous episodes there as well. Incidentally, we've had more than 1,500 replays of our show so far this November in 4 days plus, and we thank you all for that. All right, let's check quickly and see if Joan Solson from CNetNews.com is ready to go on the line. If she is, you will hear her shortly. Joan to come on the program and join us. So, Joan, if you're hearing me, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see on my Black Talk screen that you're ready to go, we will get you on the air. For those of you who just joined us, you may be hearing a bit of a buzz on my end of the line, and that is because our building is having some mini construction going on, and they're using one of those like drills that does make quite a bit of noise when it happens. So we apologize for that. Did not know this was going to happen until a few hours ago, and that's the way things are going. Usually I come to you through my smartphone, but today we're doing on speakerphone because my smartphone has an issue. Hopefully it'll be resolved by Friday's episode. But in the meantime, again, thank you for bearing with us with the buzz that we have been getting throughout the program. And again, that's not on our guest end of the line. It's on my end of the line. I take accountability and responsibility for that. So, Joan, if you're in our vicinity, please give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we will get you on the air. Let's try one more time to see if Joan is ready to go. And so I'm going to take a brief pause. Be right back. Something may be up in terms of Joan's ability to get on the program, or an assignment may have popped up where she has to write. As you know, she is the senior digital media writer for CNetNews.com. Does a great job over there. And we're going to try one more time together. If not, we will wrap things up around a quarter to the hour. So, and if that's the case, we can't get Joan. Totally understand sometimes things happen on the fly. She has to get an assignment in. And if that's the case, we will reschedule her for an upcoming episode, hopefully either Friday or sometime next week. And again, we will let you know, hopefully in the course of the next 48 hours, who we will have on Friday's episode, which, of course, will be at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And again, I want to thank everybody who's been checking out our replays. We had over 13,000 replays last month, and we already have nearly 2,000 replays this month 1,600 going into this morning. So thank you all for that. Keep the replays coming. We have some very exciting guests that we are expecting to get over the next couple of weeks. We'll keep you posted on Facebook and Twitter all about that. And incidentally, if you check in with my Facebook and Twitter page, I often post sometimes mini thoughts about where TV is at and going, and we certainly also cover events that are taking place. Incidentally, this Thursday, we have Conan O'Brien coming into town with a special Team Coco event. And we also just learned that Tracy Morgan on Friday, the star of the TBS comedy The Last OG, is going to be at Brooklyn Borough Hall accepting an award from the government officials there. Very excited about that. And we may be headed there as well. So should be a lot of fun. Oh, one other thing. Tamara Tooney, who was our guest on our show a week and a half ago, former co-star of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. She was on a special Wednesday episode of the program. I'm happy to tell you that she is going to be in New York accepting a special award, I believe, from a magazine on Friday night. And we may be able to catch her in person along the red carpet. We'll let you know about that as the week progresses or so. So congratulations to Tamara on that. And her new movie, Her Only Choice, still playing on BET, various time periods that she is the star in. And again, thank you, Tamara, for coming on our program. Over 250 replays of that episode so far, and we really appreciate her for coming aboard. She was live with us from Pittsburgh, from Carnegie Mellon University. All right, we're going to give Joan one more chance. Let's see if she's finally on the line, and we'll go from there. So hang in there. We'll be right back. Joan, or it sounds like Joan is not going to be able to be with us today. Something has apparently popped. We'll find out what it is, and nothing wrong here, and we'll reschedule Joan again for an upcoming episode. In the meantime, if you want to catch Joan's work, all you got to do is go anytime you like to CNetNews.com and check out her terrific work. She is a wonderful writer and very knowledgeable. She also sometimes moderates panels and one-on-one interviews with various people in the digital media world. So if you ever get a chance to hear her or see her do that, do check it out. You'll be well rewarded. So we're sorry that we couldn't have Joan with us today, but we will try to get her on a future episode. And again, you want to catch her work and that of CNNews.com in general, just go to www.news.com. News available on the digital media world and the TV world too sometimes, 24/7. Again, we'll be back with some terrific guests Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And, of course, we'll be back with you then, too, in podcast form on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. In the meantime, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's blogtalkradio.com/televise. Also, you can check out our episode. As soon as we're done, it will be posted on that site in a matter of moments, in case you just came in today's program late. Remember, you can also catch us on podcasts. It's on iTunes.com, Apple TV's podcast app, Spreaker's podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. What do you think about our program today? And what's your thoughts ongoingly about the world of television, where it's at, where it's going? Love to hear from you. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Don't forget, email is how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. The current question one more time, since we have the time. What was the Green Hornet's day job? That's on the 1966-67 ABC season of that series, TV, starring Van Williams and Bruce Lee. What was the Green Hornet's day job? If you know the answer, it's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Our prizes are The Golden Box by David Tice, one of our guests on last Monday's episode, and the DVD set of the new miniseries on North Korea that will premiere this weekend on National Geographic. So get in the game and go for it, because if you can, sooner you do, sooner you might be our next Classic Trivia Question winner. Remember, you can also use our email to give us your thoughts on a regular feature that we do called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that deserves more attention and it's not getting it? We'd like to hear about it from you, and if we use a suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. So SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Remember, I do return emails in 24 hours, so I love hearing from you. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you, and we appreciate any contribution you make. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not through those of Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and Spreaker. Our production associate is Candace Williams at BTR, and Eddie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and two additional audio productions under the Audible Theater banner and a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televise. And one final thing before we go. Tomorrow is Election Day here in this U.S. of A. A lot is riding. And remember, you have in your possession a right to exercise your right to vote. And I invite you on this day before Election Day, wherever you are hearing us across this country, to exercise that right. And if you're thinking about not doing it and leaving it to the other person, keep this in mind. There are people in this world who are still fighting and dying for what you can do tomorrow. They don't have the right to vote. You do. So don't leave it to the other person. Whatever your political persuasion, no matter your thoughts on the issues, no matter your choice of candidate, get out there and make that difference. Exercise your right to vote. And then have your vote count. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your day and week. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And whatever you're up to this week, along with your vote, make it a great one and a safe one too. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.